Okay, alright.
David, what?
Here, I'll read you his message. It's all readable. He has another training. It started at 8 a.m. this morning, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably why he was jumping in on that really one, seeing if they could get a little bit.
All right, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, great. So, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. And yourself?
Yeah, good. Yeah, pretty busy and connecting up with a few different groups this week, but yeah. I'm trying to work out some South African groups to connect up with, and actually a UK group, which is...
Oh, awesome!
They're coming on board last, so...
this is pretty amazing, really, with what the Lord's opened up with this technology, how you're able to help mentor people all over the world. It's exciting.
I can see it as an opportunity God is opening up when the technology's there, and lots of other people are now starting to catch on to it. You know, we've done the Liebusters training by that, and now the Liebusters sort of academy thing, that's starting to function by that as well, which is great. I think Monday. Last Saturday, I think there was like 220 people from all over the world hooked up to the first training session. So we did the alpha training.
Oh yeah.
We did the basic guinea pigs for it, and we did four sessions and recorded them and used them. And now I think three or four of us were actually sort of on the beginning of the first training for everybody, just sharing our stories and testimony a little bit of what God had done. And there was a few who'd actually had Liebus and did Liebus in different situations that shared it. It was good. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. 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 No, it's been certainly working well. But yeah, good. So how have you been doing in terms of the practicing stuff since we last missed?
Attempting. I mean, as I would say, and Josh, I've told Josh and David about my experiences, and they tell me to be, you know, very encouraged, because even though I'm not experiencing the other things yet, I am starting to experience quite a different phenomenon. My prayer life is taken on, and it's not like a prayer life, you know. I don't want to say it's like, you know, getting up and going on my knees, but it's more like from my spirit. I started first practicing using my imagination. I used that going around the house, opening doors, and I started using my imagination to go outside. And so, and this was all just to, you know, awaken my imagination. And I didn't really think anything about it. But there was a couple times that when I went outside, you know, I said, well, I'm here. I'm just going to go ahead and bless the house across the street. So I did. I was in my spirit, just the best that I could explain it, blessing this home. And but then I found myself, people in my church, families, for about 2 years we had what was called a Saturday night prayer, that we went to homes and we would worship. And so I got to go to, you know, 30 homes over the last 2 years. And so I know where all the people live. I know what their homes are like. Well, I'm finding myself, I go there. I go there in my spirit over their homes, and I proclaim things. And I'm not saying anything out loud. It's just happening inside of me. But I can, sometimes I sense the fire of God while I'm doing it. And it's, That for me is huge. You know, it's not necessarily along these exact same lines of heaven, but my wife says, don't disregard that at all. It's, you know, it's it's a great ministry. So
absolutely, and it is all part of it, because what you're doing is activating your spirit and activating the eyes of your heart to be able to flow outwardly, you know, from the inside out, you know.
Right.
So in a sense, it's the first part of the pathway, you know, is engaging in that, so that what you contain in your heart, that's what you give access to bless and to administer to and to do what you're doing. because you carry that in your heart already.
Exactly. And I can do it at will. I can choose to go and pray for somebody or have them like in front of me in a way. I know it sounds weird, but I can't explain it any differently.
Yeah. No. But it is exactly, that's how it should work. You know, as you carry those people in your hearts, you carried their homes in your heart, and that gives you access to them in the realm of the spirit to release those blessings and to and actually you will be able to see things in that realm that gives you insight into what to pray. And as you're saying, it's just being releasing things out. And that all comes from just activating this pathway, you know, and you know, for that's part of, no doubt, part of your destiny and part of the things that God's called you to do. And that's the things that you're finding work, you know, and that's a very practical outworking of manifesting the kingdom, you know, through us as a gateway around us, you know, and, which is great, you know. And I think there's a lot more in those realms that you begin to encounter and realize, you know. And I think probably as that opens up, what you will be able to see and what you will be able to discern will become more clear in that. So you will be able to probably see some of maybe what the enemy's activity is in those areas, you know, what God's desires are in those areas. Maybe some of the activity that's going on that causes maybe a disturbance or even a blessing in that spiritual realm that, and you'll tune into and be able to access and operate in that. So I think that's a, you know, a real positive, definitely a positive dimension to it. Because at the end of the day, we can have wonderful encounters in heaven, but if actually they don't make a practical difference, then, you know, it creates a problem the other way, you know, where people are, well, you're just always in heaven and nothing's happening on earth. So there's got to be a balance, you know, and there's got to be one leads to the other. So in a sense, the realm of heaven is still within you in the realm of the kingdom, you know, because the kingdom is in us. Right. And that is the realm of heaven. That's why we can access it through first love and different things. So in a sense, it's just a way of thinking about it that is very much more personally how you personally relate to that. And, you know, we learn the other pathway of engagement as well. You know, I've been listening to Robert Henderson's stuff on the courts of heaven and navigating the courts of heaven.
I just started listening to him yesterday.
Yeah, I just started listening this morning. So, but I found that quite interesting in just putting it into a different way of speaking, but actually the same message. You know, we need judicial legal authority exercise there that actually then releases authority here. But you only have authority over that which you've been given, that sphere. So for you, you're beginning to exercise that authority over the people and the hearts and the lives of people that are within that sphere for you. And that's, you know, that's great. You know, I think that's very positive. But, yeah. How about you, Josh?
Mike Lindell, it's easy to, one thing we've talked about, it's easy to see what others are doing and the progress they made and then feel like, you know, kind of measure up with that, you know, because it's easy to see others and they're at a different place and operating in a different way than, you know, maybe we're too. And so you look at that and go, well, why aren't I doing that? Why isn't this happening? And anyways, it's for me, I've been kind of, you know, basics, but I've been taking a lot of time and just purposing throughout the day and then my times alone with the Lord to just pray in tongues, you know, and just kind of doing what I consider the basics or first steps. And I'm starting to notice and learn things about myself and when I, you know, have it taken time to, you know, that I set aside and, you know, like often I will take time and just pray in tongues. That's all I'll do. I'll just pray in tongues. And then I'm taking time to go through different gateways, and I'm kind of just noticing some things, noticing some, I don't know, resistance. I'm learning a lot is what I'm doing just by simply just taking time to go through these different gateways and open myself up and what I feel is, you know, getting rid of those unfamiliar spirits and those distractions that have kind of plagued me, if you will, or I've allowed to plague me for a long time. So my heart at the moment is simply focusing on the Lord and giving all of myself to Him all of the time, and not taking that with me. For example, like when I'm at work, it's easy just to be at work, and everything else is set aside. So yesterday I'm purposely, you know, praying in tongues. I'm purposely, you know, focusing on the Lord, and again noticing some things that He's showing me about myself that I can tell that He's working and moving in me. And I visited that, you know, the garden, and specifically what I call, you know, the River of Life. And I've revisited that a number of times, briefly, just to be familiar and not, I guess, to keep it familiar and constant, you know, in my life and in my heart. So, yeah. So I think that's where I am.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, excellent. Okay. So in looking at, you know, where you are personally, have you sort of thought more, any more about, you know, how you're going to introduce this to a wider group, or how, you know, the next steps for you guys? Because some of what you're sharing, that will be the sources of encouragement and the testimonies that will be able to be released to others. You know, because, you know, if you go in, you know, in any bringing other people into anything, they're going to want to know, has this working for you? And so what you're sharing today, I mean, it's a very positive, practical thing. And, you know, each person, I know David, when he was sharing previously, you know, had personal experiences. Those are all the things which actually people can then relate to, rather than just relating to it, you know, in a sense, oh, well, I can hear someone else talking about it. When they know people, then it's different, you know. So have you had any thoughts about, you know, where you're looking to go with that and the next steps on that?
You know, I have had some thoughts, but again, it's like, and I know you said don't get too far ahead.
Yeah.
To me, I haven't felt like I've gone far enough, but maybe that's what the enemy continues to want me to think, is that I'm not progressing the way that I should, or that I'm not measuring up. You know how you can get to a place you compare yourself, and then he uses that same tool inside of you,
yep,
to stifle things. So, you know, you mentioned one thing. Maybe that's what I need to consider is maybe on a Saturday night. I know probably most of the families that used to come to the Saturday night prayer are the most hungry ones. They're the ones who, you know, are ready to go into the depths, the fanaticals, the fringe, the warriors, you know,
yeah.
And maybe just invite them over to our house and tell them that we're going to practice, because I have been sharing on Sundays different things about that we're already in Mount Zion, that says we've come, it's in the present tense, it's in the active voice, and that we're seated in heavenly places in a place of authority already. So maybe I could just say we're going to take time and practice being in that active realm and see what God does, you know. I believe that, you know, as you approach Him by faith, no telling what will happen. So with that encouragement, I'll talk to a few people and plan a Saturday night, and we'll just go from there. I mean, the thing is that, you know, I can teach a few things, but it's not like you say, hey, this is what I've done, this is how far I've gone, that, you know, I think people are going to say, oh, wow, I want to, you know. But maybe we'll just have people praying for everybody. I don't know. You know, it's I always heard you can't give what you don't have, and so. But I've noticed that God at times has given people experiences, and I didn't have them. But just because I approached it by faith, people started experiencing things. So.
I don't absolutely. Don't listen to anything that's saying, "Oh, you can't do this," because the three of you actually have had experiences which are all different, but all very valid. And actually sharing from different perspectives will help more people to actually realize, "Oh, there's just not one way of this works. That actually there's different ways. I need to see how it's going to work for me." Particularly, I think, understanding that, you know, it's not all just visual, that it's about impressions, it's about feelings, it's actually engaging all the senses to be active, you know, and just even when you're talking about, well, yeah, I practiced opening the eyes of my heart and getting my imagination working. Well, that in itself is a really positive step and a testimony that then that took you into almost unexpected things. You weren't expecting that, but because you opened it up, hey, you were led into that. You don't really have to be that far ahead to share where you are, you know. And the danger would be that, you know, you're sort of held back feeling, well, I'm not far enough forward, but, you know, you know, how far do you need to be? You know, you really only need to be a step for anybody to follow. You know, and I think with the three of you, you've all made steps, which in sharing those steps would, I think, be very valuable to others who will be able to follow. And I think, you know, as you identified those people who are hungry, yeah, and they catch hold of something, then they will be enthusiastic with that, with others that they know, and it begins to grow, because people will start sharing their testimonies, and it's like various things will be outworked from that, and you know. I think that would be a great thing to do. It would be encouraging. You know, I'm gonna with the church here, I'm gonna take the whole church now through from the beginning. You know, I've done it with loads of different groups of people, but I'm developing these two pathways, this relationship and responsibility pathway, and I'm going to take everyone back to the beginning. We're going to start again praying in tongues and doing the praying in tongues inside, outside, meditating, using tongues, all the different things from the beginning, building and preparing the spirit for the journey, and just really but I'm going to do it in a very much more experiential way. So, you know, where I would have done 45 minutes of teaching and 15 minutes of exercise, I'll probably do, you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes of teaching and 20, 30, 40 minutes of exercise. Because that's the way people learn. They don't actually... Well, I found that people learn by encounter much better than by being taught, just in theory. And no matter how much you teach in theory, unless people experience it, there's just no way for them really to connect. So I'm really going to start doing things a lot differently here, and really focus on the experiences and the encounters. And we're going to do that from the very basic experiences that people have. You know, even salvation. How would you pray for someone to be saved? And we all got sort of words that we would use or help people to pray a prayer. But actually, we want them to encounter God right at the very first point. So why not find some experiences that would help them in coming to God? And actually, you know, they won't have too many hang-ups. It will be, they'll just follow along. So we're even looking at, okay, so we need to see someone saved. Okay, well, how do we explain that in a visual way? Okay, well, maybe they're going to drink living water, and that's going to become a fountain in them. You know, maybe, hey, they're going to come back to God if they've sort of had maybe as childhood they've known about God rather than have no knowledge of him. The prodigal story, and sort of, okay, you can't come to him carrying all the weight of all the rubbish, so you have to let that go, and he's going to welcome you, give you a new robe, and just lots of different things like that we're just looking at how do we do things so that people experience those things rather than just, you know, we tell them, you know, how do people know that they're born again? Well, they should be able to hear God, feel him, experience him right from the off. So we're really thinking about that a lot. You know, we got some baptisms coming up, and we're going to do baptisms totally different. You know, we're going to open up the encounter where people can come just like Jesus did, under an open heaven, Holy Spirit coming upon them, God speaking out of heaven, affirming who they are, all that stuff. You know, just so that each point in people's experience with God is an experience rather than us just telling them something. But it's totally in line with, you know, everything we're doing, even the sort of the lie busting thing. It's all about people hearing what God says, you know, not someone counseling them and telling them what God says. No, we just ask them to hear. And we've actually done some lie busts with people who aren't Christians, and they heard, and they became Christians as a result of it, because they couldn't deny because all we said is just go with the flow of the thoughts that come into your mind, just like we would say to everybody else, and it worked, you know. And they encountered that and were set free by it, and you know, and I think that's going to be something that is used, reaching out to those people who are hurting and looking for help. We're going to introduce them to God in an experiential way rather than a theoretical way, and I think that's an exciting thing. I feel, you know, we're just sort of, you know, plotting that journey right now, but it's going to start with me teaching totally differently, because I can't carry on doing something an old way and expect the results to be a new way. So we've got to find new ways of helping people to experience it, which will be quite challenging, I think, because I like teaching, but you know, it's just going to be done in a way which helps people to experience those things practically, rather than just hear about them and then, you know, go away and not experience them, which is what most people tend to do, and often get inoculated by what you say because they think they understand it because they've heard it, rather than they understand it because they know it. And knowing, I think, is the key. So I think we're gonna have some fun, I think, exploring, finding different ways to help people meet with God and encounter him in that way. Makes sense.
You know, it goes against, you know, for those of us who have been in the trenches for a long time, it really does fight everything that we've kind of been taught, because we've always been taught, you know, line upon line, we're, you know, precept upon precept, you know, instruction upon instruction, and we unfortunately, I believe, and I felt, we've taught so much that we've left the experiences out, and so we're a taught people, but with no real life flowing, so... Mm-hmm. But it's hard. I don't think that way.
Yeah, same with me. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. But God has challenged us so much that we've got no choice. It's like we have to do things a different way. Otherwise, those old ways are not going to work for much longer. You know, and that's what I think he's saying a lot, really. It's like, you know, as he's encouraging us to embrace something new, there's a period of grace transition where, you know, you're bringing those new things in, but if you carry on trying to make the old things work, that's what you'll be doing, trying to make them work, and they will be empty and devoid of the grace of God and the anointing. And there is a transition period, but, you know, we need to embrace new things. And I think we're finding that some people who haven't embraced new things in, you know, as quickly as others, are finding that they're struggling with their old things because there's no grace with it any longer. God's mm-hmm. basically saying, well, the cloud's moved. Are you going to follow? You know, because the cloud's no longer there anymore. You know, and you can stay there, but you're going to be without my presence, which is not what anybody wants, you know. But, that's, you know, when we go back, you know, we've looked to, you know, adopt a very Western mindset and Greek mindset to teaching people. You know, we've sort of used the lecture format. Well, okay, Jesus did a couple of things where he sat down and people were, you know, were taught. But that was just, you know, when you read all the stories of what Jesus did, that was just one or two things out of all the occasions. And we've taken that one or two thing and we've made that the thing. And even like with, you know, Paul, you know, we used the whole thing with the, you know, in Athens and with the, you know, the sort of the philosophers and, oh, that was the way. Well, actually that was the least successful of Paul's things because there was no power in it. And a few people were interested, but he didn't demonstrate any power. He was trying to actually come at them with sort of reason. And a few people responded. But in other places, hey, there's all these miracles and you get whole villages and towns responding. And I think he probably learned, you know, but we've actually taken that as the model way of actually presenting the gospel, which I don't think it actually is at all. I think actually it was actually not the right way of doing it, you know, to be honest, because it wasn't very successful. But we've taken a lot of things like that and majored on them to such a degree that, as you say, you know, the experience of it has been lacking, you know. And even when people are experiencing God, it's not really as a result of what we're teaching. It's because the Holy Spirit shows up and people get prayed for and God touches them, you know, rather than, you know, okay, yeah, we say something and the power comes out of the word and just touches people like that. It's not really like that, you know. And so I think, you know, we're on a journey with it. And, yeah, it's exciting. And I think there's opportunities and God will come with greater dimensions on those opportunities for people. You know, so I'm really looking forward to it in a sense because I know, you know, my engagement with people around the world is people experience God. You know, even just if you open a door and they go through it, they experience God. You know, and some of those might be the sort of the hungry people or the people who are really looking for it. But we give the same opportunity for everybody, and I think God will meet with them, you know, and encourage them then that, hey, they can do that, you know. So, yeah, I think it's good. It's a good place that I think God is calling us.
So let me ask you this. Do you think I should maybe not segregate it or isolate individuals so that, you know, it's just who I think? Because I know a lot of times that's using my own reasoning and I end up, you know, missing what God could do.
Yeah. Well, I think you just need to get a sense of peace about it, what it is for you, and sense, okay, where's the larger collection of people, you know? What you don't want is to engage them with something which will frighten them or put them off. But on the other side, you don't want it to be such a, this is secret. Maybe you just give people an opportunity of responding. Rather than saying, okay, everyone is going to do this, maybe you sort of say, okay, here's a brief thing of what we've been doing and what we're looking at. Anyone interested? We're going to be meeting Saturday night. That will then put it into the people themselves' court, whether they want to respond to that or not, rather than you just saying which people you think, because that opens the door for people. That might be a way of doing it. You know, I mean, that's what I've done all along, really, is just I've invited people who are interested. You know, when we've ever done, you know, I've never done it on a Sunday with everybody until now, because now we're in a place where we need to do that, because that's what God is calling us to do, to equip people, everybody. And we've got a lot of people now who've got the basics and are actually operating in those things themselves. So it's not just about me, you know, we're sort of releasing that outwards. But for you, I think, you know, if you keep inviting people, then no one can say they didn't have an opportunity, you know. You know, and that's it, puts it back into, you know, if people feel drawn to it. And in a sense, you want those people whose spirits are drawn to something you share, you know, rather than feeling it's a duty or, you know, you know, we have to go because the pastor's asked us to go. It actually, you share it in such a way that it gives people complete freedom not to go, not to be part of it, but encourages those whose spirits are hungry and will respond. Maybe that be a way of encouraging people. You know,
that's good.
You know, because I do feel it's like they're, you know, in connecting with people around the world, you know, I'm connecting up with different groups in different ways. You know, there's a guy down in Maryland that, you know, we've been working for the last sort of 9 months or so, and he's going to start a church off like this with a bench of three and with seven mountains and having their scrolls and having the angels assigned. And I've been working with him, and he's been just doing that, and now they're just starting to open it up to people. And that's an exciting opportunity, because I think I'd love to do that. You know, I said to him, you know, so I'm, you know, in the very nicest way, I'm really envious of being able to do that from scratch, from the beginning, and work through that. But actually, there's a lot of people and a lot of places that are going to need to learn how to transition groups of people through into these new things, and it's great being able to like connect up with you and others who are doing that, because we can learn from each other's experiences and, you know, and help, you know, and it, in a sense, I'm always available to help in any way. I mean, there's a group down in Atlanta that I get together with the group. They just use a camera, and they're in a room and I'm on the other end, and we just sort of start to hang out like that. You know, so if in a sense you wanted even a larger group, you know, to say, okay, to get sort of a kickoff with it, or to ask questions about it or whatever, then I'm always free to help in any way I can.
Oh, that's great.
You know, because that in itself, you know, would be helpful, I think, in some places, you know. And, you know, I mean, the guy down in Maryland, you know, has invited me to come over to, I don't know, when they first sort of start things off, and to pray with them. So, you know, even possibility of getting together with you personally would be something that might be possible if I'm over that far. You know, it's Maryland isn't that far, is it, by plane? So, you know, it's only a couple of hours, I would imagine.
2 hours.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a sense that, you know, there may be opportunities of doing something, you know, when you feel that I could help in any way I could. You know, I'm happy to serve, because, you know, I want to see, you know, the people of God just equipped, you know. And I think, you know, it's exciting when guys, people like you who are in that position of being able to influence churches, but you know, need to find the transition process, then it's good to work together and help each other, you know. And then there'll be other people who you'll be able to think, wow, who relate to you, will also be able to do the same thing. You'll be able to do that with them. Hey, this is where we started, and we learned this, and hey, that was, don't do it that way. And it just helps, I think, because when there aren't any books or manuals out there for this stuff. that's part of the problem. You can't just go and say, oh yeah, here I read this will find it, because this is new, you know. And, you know, establishing, you know, in a government structure of heaven is new, and even sort of doing that, you know, we've learned a lot of how not to do it, you know, as much as how to do it, because I'm pretty enthusiastic, and I probably at times just think people are in a better place than they are potentially, and it's like, oh wow, yeah, this is it, great. And we've had Ian here, and Ian sort of encouraged us in a little bit of the, and I was like, wow, okay, let's go for it, you know. And then sort of a bit down the line, you think, I didn't give them enough support, or didn't help them enough, or I thought they would be able to just do it, and then they were like, oh, we don't know what to do, you know. Even though they probably do, they just didn't think they did. And that's, so we've learned a lot, really, over the last couple of years, and you know, it's functioning, it's starting to outwork, you know, in a way which, you know, more people can really embrace now, and I think, you know, we've had prophetic words, and I know, you know, certainly the whole Ian's teaching was about, you know, God is looking for shadows or patterns on earth that he can come and fill with his glory. And so he's looking at something that reflects heaven, and you know, we had a number of prophetic words. We had a guy, remember his name there? Oh, Larry Pearson, who's a, I don't know if you know Larry Pearson. He comes out of the Toronto grouping things, but he's a really great guy. But he has some very weird manifestations that put a lot of people off, and he just can't control it. It's just
kind of like a John Scotland.
Hmm.
Kind of like Scotland does.
Oh yeah, a bit like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know. But he came and he prophesied, and he sort of prophesied some things, and he sort of said, yeah, God is rewiring your house. You know, and it's like, and yeah, that's what it feels like, you know. But he's actually given us, you know, it's almost like, yeah, our wiring system would not take the power that God wants to put through it. So it needs rewiring to really receive the glory of God rather than just the presence of God. And I think most of what we've experienced has been the presence of God, which has been awesome. And sometimes the presence of God is so great, but it still can often be quite subjective. Some people will feel it and, oh, what a wonderful meeting. I just felt God's presence and I felt his love. And someone else in the same thing will go away thinking, oh, it was a bit flat today, simply because of where they were. But when God shows up as a glory cloud, or, you know, things start appearing and come, then it's a different thing. It's an objective thing that no one can say that didn't happen. And I think we're going to start to see much more objective manifestations of God's presence and his person coming in certain ways, because we've prepared. You know, when I, you know, some of my first engagements in heaven, when I engaged with Jacob, and Jacob is quite, you know, I've had several encounters with him, and he was really directive to us in saying, you need to prepare your house for glory. And he said, go and look at my life and look at what the house was and look at this, you know, and told me what to go and read. And he said, you know, you can use that to prepare your house, physical body, but also the house of God for glory, and rewiring it and preparing it is sort of part of what we've been looking to do here, so that we will see manifestations of the kingdom in ways in which we've not yet seen. And I think a number of people are sort of prophesying these things. You know, there's things that are in heaven that have never been manifested on earth yet, but are going to be. You know, I like that sort of idea of something new and something great, you know. But to rewire a house takes some time, and it takes some effort to change things and put in things which are going to be able to take the power that God wants to put through them rather than what we would, you know. So, yeah, I think I would encourage you to, you know, I think you're in a great place. I think it's where God is moving you, and you know, there are going to be others that will learn from what you do along the way, I'm sure. Yeah, because God is stirring people, and he's stirring, you know, churches, and I think it only takes a few models that will start to really get people's attention, you know. Yeah, and there will be other ministries who will want to stay where they are, you know, and won't want to accept the invitation, you know, and when the cloud leaves, you know, it won't be good, you know. And I think I want to make sure I go where the cloud is, you know, and follow it and be open to it. But, you know, it's all good. I think, you know, there's no, I like the fact that there's no book, because it means we need to go back to God.
Mm-hmm.
We need each time to engage with what God is saying. You know, and that's why in this situation, okay, what's God saying? You know, what is the strategy? And for me now, it's like, I don't do anything without getting a strategy out of heaven. You know, I get a scroll or a mandate, and then I go and use that scroll and get it authorized, and I get strategy for it in the court of strategy, in the war court, and I go to the angel's court, and I release things, you know. And I would have never even thought of doing that stuff before, but actually it works, and I've seen it work, you know, in a day work, you know, something I did in the morning, by the afternoon, when I was doing some things with some people, there was a manifestation of the very thing I did that morning, you know. Which I think, well, that's really cool. And that sometimes it doesn't happen as quickly, but it's, you know, it's that side of it which is the judicial side, which needs to be learned and needs to be effective. And so, you know, going to God, and whichever way it comes, you know, for some people, you're just going to get, God will show you, or you'll get peace or revelation. But the more you practice it, the more it becomes something that you know is a very real thing and a tangible thing that then you can then use and take, because that gives you the mandate. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, listening to that stuff with Robert Anthony, he was talking really about, you know, those people who tried to do things outside of their mandate and ended up, you know, some of them died. You know, another thing I listened to today, he was saying, you know, two ladies tried to take down the principalities over New York, felt their heart was there, but took it on themselves, and within 12 months, both of them died of cancer in their 20s. Because they went outside of the mandate that they had in heaven, because their hearts was so much for something. And I think you see it a lot in people with intercessory callings, and they start interceding, and they start trying to do things in a that they've not necessarily got the mandate for. And we need to make sure that we're operating within the judicial authority that we've got. Now, the great thing with you is that you have that authority. You know, you carry that, and actually, you know, even the people that you carry in your heart and the houses you visited, those things, that carries that authority with it. And so, you know, it's those that don't and not necessarily in that position that there's difficulty. And I know, you know, I'm connecting up with a lot of people, and a lot of people are just, they struggle with what they would call traditional church simply because they don't feel they fit. They've tried this stuff, but because they didn't have the authority and they weren't in a right place in it, they were seen as rebels and trying to rock the boat and stir this. And so it's great to, we need to work within the spheres of authority that we've got. But when you can, then you can really see things change and transformed. And we can bring other people into those levels of authority as well within their spheres. And I think that's the key. You know, finding out what is it that God's called me to, what are the spheres within my destiny, and then I can get the mandates that enable me to outwork that, rather than, well, I'm going to try this or I'm going to try that or hope this works. Actually, no, let's go and find out, you know, what is it that God's telling us to do and how is he telling us to do it, you know, and when we start doing it there, then we'll see transformation here, I think, in greater dimension. But, you know, we're all just learning this stuff, you know, and probably lots of people have picked it up in different ways and I've got strands of it. I just like trying to pull all the strands together, you know, and so think, okay, yeah, so-and-so's heard this and they've seen that. How does that fit in with what they've seen, and how does that come together to produce something that actually is giving us a bigger picture and a jigsaw that get a few pieces together and suddenly you can see something different. You know, and it's funny, because it's funny, you know, it's interesting, because it's like, you know, when we first got together, you know, you were having a live bust on the Thursday, you know, and it's like, you know, today it's like I listened to Robert Anderson, you listened to him yesterday. So there's something that God is doing, you know, because I've heard his name and for ages. Just felt no desire to do anything, and then today I felt I need to listen to that, and I think God is starting to just align things and get people connected up at the right time to the right things that will actually enable us to go forward and see things change and transformed, you know, and just bring, you know, what the true, you know, ecclesia is, you know, and I love the whole thing that, you know, there are cities that have got a book written about them, and there are states that have got a book, and there's nations that have got a book, and there's actually people that we've all got a book. And actually, once we find and engage with that book, then what we prophesy is coming out of that book, and everything's aligning itself with those things that were already agreed. And for me, I think that's really exciting, you know, and gives us an opportunity to see great change once we start to cooperate with what God has already decreed. You know, what is in the declaration of God for our area, our city, our town, our nation, whatever it is. You know, and some people will have access to those books and will be able to prophesy out of those books and administer out of those books, and some people will never go beyond their own family or their own street or their own area. But that's great, because everyone's different. We just need to help people engage at the level that they're called to within their destiny. Because if their book says engage here and they try and engage somewhere else, then they're not going to function in that. And so it's helping people to find out what is the sphere of authority that they've been given within their destiny that they can function in. And they will be totally fulfilled, and one day they'll get a well done, good and faithful servant from God for doing what they were called to do. You know, and that releases people, not have to be like somebody else. They just need to find out who they are, what their identity is, and how to outwork it, which is, you know, people then will think, hey, I actually feel fulfilled. You know, whereas so many people go around, oh, am I fulfilled? You know, what am I doing? You know, is this what it's all about? And they just don't feel fulfilled. You know, and they go to church each week and they do this and they do that, but actually they really know there's something more. But they've just never actually, you know, been pointed in the right direction to find out, well, what is it? You know, it's written about you. It's already there. You know, Jesus said in the scroll of the book, it was written of me. So he was coming out of what was already prophetically established for him, you know, and he operated out of that. I think it's good where we're at right now, and it's exciting to see God aligning things and releasing things to come into that sort of alignment, you know, which is great. But, yeah, there we go.
Well, I have to be done by 9 o'clock today.
Yeah.
And I know it's getting towards evening at your place. You guys went a long time last time.
Yeah, we followed on a little bit longer. Yeah, but no problem.
I'm gonna take that invite for you to come and maybe next time we talk, I'll have already either planned that meeting or maybe had one, just an impromptu one, and see how it goes. Just do a general invite to the church. I have a text, and just send it out and see who shows up, and just see, just use that as kind of just an impromptu time to talk to them a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. I feel that the old is, for me to know to do something else and to continue to do the old is sin, and I keep telling my wife that, and I say, I have no grace to start Bible studies. I have no grace right now to do any of that. All I have a grace is to pursue God in this new area.
Yeah.
And it's definitely awkward to be a pastor in this day and not be able to, you know, have some kind of, you know, 5-year plan to go with.
Yeah, well, you know, the plan's all there. We just have to discover it in different ways, you know, which is great. So, yeah, no, that's good. No, that's excellent. So, very good. Okay.